Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you have a great business idea, but you're stuck when it comes to cash? Stay tuned for a creative solution. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is March 21st, the first day of spring. I love it when spring comes around, and it's an exciting time of the year for new beginnings, new ideas, new adventures. And for some of us, that might mean starting a new business. And in our article today, we'll learn about a different way of doing that. My name is Naomi, and with me in the studio, first of all, we have Ellen. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great being here.
Now, Ellen, have you ever had an idea of maybe starting a business? Have you ever considered that possibility?
Personally, I haven't, but I do know some people who are very interested, and I have actually recommended them to try out these methods.
Okay. Now, it can be really challenging to start your own business. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider, right?
Yes, absolutely. First and foremost, it has to be a good idea, and second, of course, cash.
Right. And I think a lot of people have a good idea, but then when it comes to the cash side, they maybe get a little intimidated by the whole process. And they think, well, it's impossible. It's just a dream.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this is what we're talking about today will be very, very helpful for them.
Okay, good. Also joining us is Nathaniel. Welcome back.
Hello. Yes, I am Nathaniel.
And do you own any businesses?
No, unfortunately, I do not. But maybe after we get done with this article, I'm going to get out of here and raise some money with the means that we're going to talk about today. We'll see.
I do also think that in many different fields, people do get stuck when it comes to pursuing their dreams because of financial reasons.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. I mean, eventually, I would not necessarily like to start a business, but I'd love to get into a production company or something like that. And I think something like this can still serve the same purpose in that type of setting.
Good. Can you explain what a production company is?
Yes, a production company is a company that produces usually different kinds of art, and I'm particularly thinking about film. But it could be a numerous amount of things, I guess, different kinds of things.
Okay. Now, it sounds like that kind of thing might not require a lot of capital to start up. It might not need a whole lot of money, but I'm guessing most people don't have even just a little bit of extra money lying around.
Yeah, it does kind of – it depends what you have starting out with, and it kind of depends what your script looks like. I mean, of course, you're going to need some software and some equipment, but yeah,
right.
That's true.
Right. Okay. So we always think of, for instance, something like putting on a play. You think, well, you can charge money for tickets, so it'll pay for itself. And that might be true, but there are still expenses up front, right?
Yes, there are. It depends exactly what you're doing. If you're doing like Our Town where there's no set, you know, you might be able to get off pretty well with just the tickets, maybe, but you're going to have to pay for the play itself. You might have to pay for the space that you're using to perform the play, depending on your situation. That's
mm-hmm.
true. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like there are a lot of ideas I've had about my life and what I might like to do where I've thought, oh, that would be such a cool idea. If only I had an extra $10,000 sitting around, I would definitely do that. And I mean, anything from, you know, starting a newspaper or a magazine to opening up a coffee shop, right? All of those things require some capital.
Right.
Can you explain a little more about capital?
Capital is the money that you need to first come up with to begin a business. So anytime you have an idea and you want to begin a business, you always need capital.
Right. And where do most people get capital from?
Well, usually I think, I don't know this from personal experience, but I've heard a lot of times it's from family, friends, mm-hmm. What we call a network of people.
Okay.
So, yeah. Network is just people you know, your friends, family, maybe colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And some people, if they don't have that kind of network, might also get a loan. But a loan can be kind of hard to get.
Right. If you don't already have some money, banks aren't as willing to lend you money because they're not sure they're going to get it back.
Okay. So it sounds to me like a lot of people with really great ideas and wonderful plans could get really stuck when it comes to starting their own businesses, because even really basic ones, you need some kind of startup money. Well, today we're learning about a really fascinating solution to this problem. So please join us on page 32 as we begin our article for today. Everyone is an investor.
Everyone is an investor. Crowdfunding fuels businesses, charities, and creative ventures. Entrepreneurs and dreamers are flocking to crowdfunding, an emerging field of finance that, by using the internet as an efficient middleman, often manages to be both more intimate and more high-tech than traditional means of raising seed money. The idea has existed for years, but is receiving renewed attention now that social media, online networks, and payment technologies increasingly strip away legal, psychological, and logistical barriers for money solicitations. The gradual success of many projects has validated this as a real option, a real way to make things, says Yancey Strickler, co-founder of Kickstarter. The internet is incredible for harnessing organizational power. A few dollars here and a couple of hundred bucks there can add up quickly. About $1.5 billion was raised in 2011 by about 450 crowdsourcing internet sites worldwide, says a report by crowdsourcing.org. This expands on the angel investor model, in which a wealthy individual puts up money in return for equity, says David Rubenstein, partner at accounting firm Weiser Mizars. There is some good to this. This will ultimately result in growth of companies and additional jobs.
So the title of our article today, found on page 32, is Everyone is an Investor. Or maybe everyone can be an investor. Are you an investor, Ellen?
I am not an investor. I'm not very good with finding very good ideas put money in.
Okay, you make a good point. If we're going to give our money to someone, we want to make sure it's someone who we really think will do good things with our money.
Right, exactly. You don't want to put money in something and then feel like you'll never get it back.
That's true. Have you ever invested in anything?
No, not in terms of the stock market or anything like that. I haven't in the past felt, very familiar with the idea. Maybe sometime in the future I'll consider it more.
But it's interesting because I think actually we all do invest in different things, and we don't always think of it in those terms because it's a very small, maybe one-time investment. For example, I will eat at certain restaurants that I think are really good restaurants. Every time I use their product, in some way I'm kind of investing in them. And if I share them with my friends and I bring other people along, or if I buy a piece of artwork from an artist. I mean, of course, these things are, it's also just buying and selling.
Right.
I understand that. But when you're supporting certain people and you're trying to give them business and encourage them to keep moving forward, that is a type of investment as well.
Mm.
But there is a way that we can be even more, I guess, typical investors in a very different way, and that is something called crowdfunding. Now, we've heard that word crowd as an adjective in other situations.
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, we know that crowd is a big group of people, crowd, I guess, can be used as a noun in that way and also as an adjective.
Right. So, for instance, crowdsourcing. What is crowdsourcing?
Crowdsourcing is when more than one person, usually a pretty big group of people, they all contribute into one thing. So, for example, one that most people will know of is Wikipedia.
That's a great example. So often we'll see this online where it's a lot of strangers, but they're all participating in one project. And there's all kinds of things like this, from websites like Wikipedia to just smaller projects where different people can contribute ideas or videos or artwork or whatever. So it's a cool trend, I think, that's been sort of coming along with the digital era, that everyone can kind of get involved in sort of a community. But here we're talking about crowdfunding.
Yeah, and in crowdfunding, of course, a lot of people can contribute financially to a business. And how exactly that works, we're going to get into with this article.
Good. So they can fuel businesses, charities, and creative ventures. A venture is sort of a step forward into a new business adventure, you might say, new ideas for businesses. So as we get into our article, we begin with one of our focus words, entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur is just somebody who wants to start a business and has a great idea to do so.
Okay, good. So entrepreneurs and dreamers are flocking to crowdfunding. So you can imagine a flock of birds all landing right there on that site. And why are they coming that way?
Because it's an emerging field of finance that, by using the internet as an efficient middleman, often manages to be both more intimate and more high-tech than traditional means of raising seed money.
Okay, there's a lot to discuss there. So first of all, an emerging field just means that it's something that's getting more and more popular, and more people are learning about it. And they're using the internet as an efficient middleman. That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, actually, middleman is kind of basically what it sounds like, a person in the middle, man in the middle, kind of sometimes acting as a messenger or a pathway from one point to another.
Okay. And they, here in this article, they're saying, well, it's a good thing because it is, it's different from traditional means of raising seed money. Now, seed money kind of goes along with what we were talking about before, capital, right?
Right. It's exactly the same thing. Seed money is capital. It's the money you use to start a business.
Good. And it says here that it is more intimate and more high-tech than the traditional way.
Right. In the past, maybe you had to propose or make presentations to different people to gather or ask for capital, mm-hmm. where now, you know, you might be able to just speak with your family, which is much more intimate.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might be one-on-one emails. You can learn more specifically about certain businesses. You know, in earlier days, you might just sort of say, oh, they have an idea for this product. Oh, okay, I guess I'll give it a shot. Now there's more that you can learn about it, and we'll figure out more about that as we continue. But moving on here to line 7, we see that this idea has actually existed for years, Nathaniel.
Yes, but it's receiving renewed attention now that social media, online networks, and payment technologies increasingly strip away all these kind of limitations, legal, psychological, and logistical barriers for money solicitations.
Okay, so let's start with solicitation. If I'm soliciting you for some startup money, what does that mean?
Well, you're basically just asking me for some startup money. Of course, it doesn't have to be money, as we could see if we were looking in the vocabulary focus. It could be just help or information, something like that as well.
Right. So if I'm lost, I can solicit someone for directions.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. But what does this new way of raising money do when it comes to that kind of asking for cash?
Well, it makes it much easier because it strips away a lot of legal or law-related problems, psychological. So maybe if you aren't the biggest people person, you're not comfortable with maybe asking somebody in person for money. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do it through technology. And then, of course, logistical. If you're doing it on the computer, maybe it's easier to organize.
Okay. So when we talk about the logistics of something, we're just talking about the organizational details. How does it actually come together? So, friends, what I want you to do is take your highlighter or your pen and underline those three words, legal, psychological, and logistical, because as we go through the article, you'll see different examples of how each of those issues are being addressed. And as you see the different things that crowdfunding can do, you can say, okay, which one does it address? Does it help with the legal barrier, the psychological barrier, or a logistical barrier? So think about that as we continue through the article. But we're beginning with a quote from the co-founder of one of the biggest crowdfunding sites, Kickstarter. And that's Yancey Strickler. And what do they have to say?
The gradual success of many projects has validated this as a real option, a real way to make things. So there has been success by using Kickstarter, and it's been proved as a real viable option for people.
Okay, a viable option.
Yeah, it's an option that is trustworthy, mm-hmm. That you can trust that it will work out, that it will be successful.
Good. When we talk about validating this as a real option, I think that's an interesting way to put it. What else do we talk about validating?
Well, people can validate your ideas, which is they approve of your ideas, mm-hmm. or they think they're good ideas.
Right. Or you were telling me before, if someone does well in school, you know, and they get good grades, it like validates all the hard work that they put in.
Exactly.
So it's that idea that everyone kind of agrees, they approve, they're saying, yes, what you did makes sense. And so in this case, I think a lot of people had doubts about the idea of this sort of online crowdfunding, and they thought, I don't know if that'll work. But the gradual success of all these projects over time, it shows, yes, this is working. It does make sense. It is a real way to raise money. And this Mr. Strickler says that it's really got a lot to do with the internet.
Yeah, the internet is incredible for harnessing organizational power, kind of just grabbing a hold of it. It's kind of what's meant there by harnessing or taking control of it.
Okay, good. So I guess that addresses some of the logistical barriers is in the situation that the internet just helps us get organized. In the next paragraph, we see that a few dollars here and a couple of $100 there can add up quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. About $1.5 billion was raised in 2011 by about 450 crowdsourcing internet sites worldwide.
Wow. So that's according to a report by crowdsourcing.org. And that's a lot of money that's been raised in this way. And it does show, it does validate the idea. It shows us that, yeah, this is working. It is making sense for a lot of people. And next we hear from David Rubenstein, who's a partner at an accounting firm. And he has a way of kind of explaining how this works and why it makes sense.
Yeah, he says, this expands on the angel investor model in which a wealthy individual puts up money in return for equity. It's an interesting name, angel investor model, but I think it's just the idea that there's kind of someone who's going to generously, maybe even miraculously, give you some money to start yourself with.
Good. Okay, so you can kind of imagine them as your angel who showed up with this money and said, I would love to support you if you give me a share later once you become successful. Mm. You know, just let me participate in this if you do make money. And of course, that's everyone's dream, right?
Absolutely. Everybody would love to just have money dropped on their doorstep, so to speak.
Right, but most people don't have an angel investor. They don't know one rich person who's willing to take a chance on them. So that's a nice idea, this angel investor model, but it doesn't always work out in real life. However, when it comes to crowds, they can kind of all be tiny little angels, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a little money here and there, so not one person going to give you a lot, maybe a lot of people giving you a little, but it could still work out.
Right. And Rubenstein seems to think that there's sort of it's a bigger deal than just, you know, one or two companies having success. He feels like it's a big shift in how companies can grow.
Yeah, absolutely. He says there is some good to this because this will ultimately result in growth of companies and additional jobs.
Okay, so he makes a couple of good points. Growing companies are always good. Additional jobs, everyone loves to hear that. When you hear this could create jobs, everyone's ears kind of perk up because, of course, unemployment is a big issue in most places around the world. And so any solutions to that are positive for everyone. So let's learn more about how Kickstarter specifically works in our next reading on page 32.
Financing Dreams. Kickstarter, one of the largest crowdfunding sites, has so far counted $200 million of pledged contributions, though not all were given to fund seekers. Fund seekers on Kickstarter get their hands on the money only if they can meet their goal. If a campaign fails, money is returned to donors. About 20,000 Kickstarter campaigns have met the goal, or about 44% of all campaigns. Successful Kickstarter campaigns average about $5,000 in funds raised. Kickstarter changes the question of funding from, is this a good investment? To, do I want this to exist? And that's a much lower bar, Strickler says. Still, Crowdsourcing proponents are betting that the advent of another fundraising channel will be a boon to entrepreneurs whose dreams have been kept in check by finances.
So money, 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 it all comes down to money. Of course, money makes the world go round. There are a lot of idioms about money because it really does make a big difference in most people's lives about whether they can move forward and do things that they enjoy or if they kind of get stuck. And so that's why a lot of people need help financing their dreams. What does that mean?
Well, if you finance your dreams, you're trying to achieve that dream. You need some money to do it. So financing it is getting that money to support what you dream to do.
Good. So now we're focusing specifically on Kickstarter, which is what, Ellen?
Kickstarter is one of the largest crowdfunding sites and has so far counted about $200 million in pledged contributions.
Wow, $200 million. Amazing. Though not all were given to fund seekers. Now, what is a fund seeker?
Well, I imagine a fund seeker is someone who has kind of applied or is using an account with Kickstarter to receive some of this money for an idea for a business that they want to begin.
Okay. Now, so what happens is you sign up on Kickstarter, you explain your idea, you have a profile of yourself, maybe you include some pictures, some websites, just more information about what you're working on. And so then you're a fund seeker, but you can only get your hands on the money if what?
If they can meet their goal. So, for example, if they said, I need $5,000 to start this business, they need to fundraise, so to speak, $5,000. If they only get $4,500, they don't get any of the money at all.
Right. So when you pledge on Kickstarter, that means, you know, you see, okay, this person's goal is to raise $5,000 by March 31st. So, you know, you can pledge, but if they don't reach that goal within that time, you never pay the money. So it never, you know, it never comes out of your account. So it's sort of a no-risk investment because in some ways, because if enough money doesn't get raised, the person can't start the business, but you won't have to pay. You know, right. It's an interesting way of doing it. If a campaign fails, like it says here, the money is returned to the donors. Now, so far, how many have actually reached their goals?
About 20,000 Kickstarter campaigns, yeah, or about 44% of all the campaigns that Kickstarter has supported, yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting statistic because it's actually less than half of the people on there who have actually met their goal. But I think that that also shows, you know, that they're being kind of responsible about what they're doing. They're not just throwing money at everyone who comes along.
Right, and it's very important to be careful when it comes to money. So it's good that Kickstarter is very careful with how they distribute money or how they hand out the money.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, when it comes to successful Kickstarter campaigns, most of them do average about $5,000 U.S. in funds raised. So that's the average to start up a business. Maybe a lot of people aren't looking to rent a whole office space. They're not looking to, you know, buy really expensive parts. They just need to pay for a website and buy some company products and, you know, start mailing things and so on. So coming back to the co-founder of the company, what did does Mr. Strickler have to say?
He says Kickstarter changes the question of funding from, is this a good investment, to, do I want this to exist? So you don't really go to Kickstarter to give money thinking, can I make a lot of more money from this? It's like, is this an idea that I can get behind, that I would encourage?
Right. So instead of saying, well, I guess I need to spend $1,000 and hope that it goes well, here, it's a bit of a different model, and we'll learn more about how exactly it works for the investors as we continue the article. But Strickler says this is a much lower bar. What do we mean by that?
Well, a lower bar in this case is kind of a lowered standard or a lower goal. So in the past, it was more, how do I make so much money? But now it's you're just thinking, okay, do I really want this to happen?
Right. It kind of reminds me of the Olympic high jump, this idea of the lower bar.
Exactly. The high jump at the Olympics is this competition where people have to jump over a bar, and every time they jump over a bar successfully, the bar goes up, goes higher a little bit, and then whoever jumps the highest bar wins the competition.
Right. And I think when it comes to starting businesses, we often think about the bar being very high. You have to jump very far, very high, with a lot of power, a lot of investors. But here, it's a lower commitment. It's starting on a bit of a smaller scale, which I think is nice, too, because it lets people start at the basics and kind of move from there. But still, our final paragraph for today says,
crowdsourcing proponents are betting that the advent of another fundraising channel will be a boon to entrepreneurs. So there's people who are really behind this idea of Kickstarter, maybe some other companies that are doing similar things, and they think this can really help entrepreneurs.
Okay, so those are the proponents, right?
Yes, these are proponents.
Kind of like supporters or people who agree and kind of push something forward. They say, yes, we like crowdsourcing. We think it's a great idea. They think that the advent of another fundraising channel. What is advent?
Advent is the coming of something. So, for example, during Christmas, the period before Christmas, we called Advent.
Because we're looking forward to the coming of Christmas. So the advent, the beginning of this other fundraising channel or system or method, will be a boon.
A help or an encouragement. This isn't really a word that we use in the spoken language very often, but you do see it in writing every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So something really great for entrepreneurs whose dreams have been kept in check by finances. Now, that's a bit of a pun, isn't it?
It is. Kept in check just means to have been kind of restricted by finances. So people who haven't had finances to start their dreams or finance their dreams have been kept in check.
Right. Kept in check by the lack of checks being written to them.
Exactly.
All right, friends. Well, that's sort of an introduction to the idea of crowdfunding, and we'll explain more about it over the next couple of days. But I hope that your interest is piqued, that you're excited to learn more. And today we would love to hear from you. If you have invested before, what did you invest in and why did you decide to do it? Let us know on our Facebook page or at studioclassroom.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.